dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, today in this show we're going to be talking about the concept of prophethood and why are the prophets considered to be free of sin and error? Why do they have to be free of sin and error? Well, without doubt, more important than anything else, a prophet must attract the trust of the general public in such a way that his words contain no possibility of being lies or erroneous. Otherwise, his position of leadership will be a shaky one. You know, we can never put up with a leader who is lying, for instance, right? Human beings, they have to trust someone to follow them. So the words of the prophet, and for the same argument, the imams, they cannot be erroneous or they cannot be lies, because otherwise they wouldn't have any trust in the society. If they are not immaculate, using the excuse that the prophets have erred, people who seek the truth from what they say will begin to doubt their invitation. It will not be accepted, or at least their words will not be accepted with all of their hearts. Human beings, they stand in need of this trust in order to accept the words of someone. This reason, which can be called trustworthiness, is one of the most important reasons for their being immaculate, the prophets being immaculate. In other words, how is it possible that God, He give His commands for His people to follow a person who is not truthful? For if this person were to err or sin, people would not follow him. You know, regarding all the prophets, and especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the prophet, he is supposed to be that role model for the society, for the individuals of that society. So if the prophet himself, who is supposed to be that role model, and Allah has invited others to follow him, follow his footsteps, if he is a liar, then why would people, you know, follow him? He cannot be a role model. We don't even tell our children, little babies and children, that this and this person is your role model if we know that person is a liar, right? Now, this leadership position for human beings is so critical that we cannot expect people to follow a leader who lies. Now, if the prophets, the divine prophets sent by God, they do lie, or they have this potential of making a mistake, or they don't know when they're saying the truth and when they're lying, and if they end up being like something like this, like a shaky personality, they have weakened their own position of leadership. In particular, since the position of leadership of the prophets completely differs with the leadership of others for people, right? Why is this the case? This is the claim that we make based on this, that people, they receive their entire program of life from the prophets. Whereas other leaders, the common, normal, regular leaders, people do not take their every step of the life from them. They don't take that dictation from them, right? Now, because of this, we see that the great commentators, they speak about the verse, "Obey God and obey the prophet and those charged with authority among you." This is chapter 4, verse 59. Allah says, obey God and obey the prophet. Well, obeying God, we can understand. Obeying the prophet is a big thing, right? Saying the command for absolute obedience is because the prophet is immaculate as well as being charged with authority. The pure leaders, like the Holy Prophet, are referred to as being charged with authority. If not, God would never give the command to unconditional obedience to the prophet. Stay with us. After we come back from a short break, we will talk a little bit more about it.
Refraining from sins, in the words of Ayatollah Mazahiri.
اجتناب از گناه اصول اون آیه استخلاف خیلی آیه مهمی است که مربوط به ایرانی ها هم هست که قرآن می‌فرماید.
One very important issue is refraining from committing sins. This issue has been implied in the Quran, chapter 55, An-Nur, verse 55, which is known as the verse of istikhlaf, meaning successorship. The verse reads, Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteous deeds that He will surely make them successors in the earth, just as He made those who were before them successors. And He will surely establish for them their religion, which He has approved for them, and that He will surely change their state to security after their fear, while they worship Me, not ascribing partners to Me. And whoever is ungrateful after that, it is they who are the transgressors. This verse is, according to a number of commentators, about the Iranians. The Quran says, Iranians, under the leadership of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his arrival, will surely hoist the flag of Islam on earth, and in its wake, Islamic justice will spread all over the world. Absolutely no one at that time will ever commit a sin openly, and life will be free from poverty, indecency, corruption, and illnesses. In short, Allah has promised a heavenly life on earth. Then He says, await His arrival. Now, how should one await the arrival of Imam Mahdi? The Allah says in the Quran, maintain the prayer, give zakat, and obey the messenger. One must have two wings. The first one being establishing a relationship with Allah through salat, prayer, and the second, establishing a relationship with people by fulfilling their needs as much as you are able to. Another thing which is very important is that one must not commit sins in his life. One should be careful lest the Satan influences his life.
هوا و هوس در زندگی نباشه. به عبارت دیگر توحید عبادی. این توحید عبادی را قرآن روش خیلی پافشاری داره. یعبدوننی لا یشرکون بی شیئا. شرک نباشه.
Lusts and carnal desires must not play a role in one's life. In other words, Tawhidul Ibadah, meaning monotheism of worship, must be practiced. This concept has been very much emphasized in the Quran. It describes the true believers as those who worship Allah and do not ascribe partners to Him. Anyway, this verse is an extremely important verse because it is about the Shia. So who is the one who really awaits the arrival of Imam Mahdi? They are those who maintain the prayer, give zakat, and obey the Messenger of Allah. When the Quran says, obey the Messenger of Allah, it means we must only obey him. We must neither obey the Satan, our carnal desires, nor the enemies of the Messenger of Allah. In fact, obeying the Messenger of Allah is acting according to the laws of Islam. One must perform all the obligatory acts, and for as much as he is able to, one should perform the recommended acts. Additionally, one should be careful not to commit sins, and if a sin is committed, one should immediately and solemnly apologize to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness.
اگر یه دفعه گناه از دستمون رفت و گناهی اومد فوراً جداً عذرخواهی از خدا.
Every day I see the same headlines, crimes, committed in the name of the divine. People committing atrocities in his name. They murder and kidnap with no shame. But did he teach hatred, violence, or bloodshed? No.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Thank you for staying with us. Before the break, we were talking about the immaculateness or infallibility of a prophet. We claim that a prophet cannot be somebody who makes a mistake, or he cannot be somebody who is a sinner himself, especially when it comes to sin of lying. Because lying is something that people, when they see someone lying, they lose their trust in them. And the most important thing for the prophets is people's trust. Now, after the break, we want to bring up this one concept for you. But before that, we want to touch up on a verse of Quran in chapter 4, where Allah says, verse 59, that obey Allah and obey the prophet and those charged with authority among you. So Allah in this verse has paralleled the obedience of the prophet to his own obedience. Now, this is a big thing, brothers and sisters. Somebody who is shaky in his character, somebody who lies or is prone to lying, right? Allah wouldn't risk it with him, right? Because Allah, we know, is immaculate. Allah is not going to make mistakes. Now, the fact that he parallels the obedience of the prophet to his own obedience, it tells us that the prophet has to be infallible and immaculate as well. Another way of providing the immaculateness of the holy prophet in relation to any sin is that any factor of sin is condemned to defeat within the very being of the holy prophet. So any factor of sin, not just lying. We took lying as one of the examples. The explanation of this is, you know, easy. When we turn to ourselves, like, you know, just introspectively, we see that we, too, are immaculate in relation to some sins or evil or unacceptable deeds, aren't we? Like, for instance, if you're a good Muslim, practicing Muslim, if you have accepted the divine commandments of Allah, assuming inshallah that none of you Muslims are drinking or consuming alcohol, right? So this makes you immaculate from that sin. Similarly, inshallah, none of you believers are liars, right? Allah does not like liars. And we know that there are traditions from prophets and imams that a mu'min, that a believer, he can never lie in his life, right? Now, if, inshallah, that you're not a liar, this makes you immaculate of the sin, right? So to an extent, we all are immaculate too, right? From different sins in relation to different sins and different evils that exist around us. Now, note the following examples. Can you find an intelligent person who thinks about eating fire or trash or filth? Can you find an intelligent person who will walk naked through the streets and, you know, the markets? Clearly not. If we saw such deeds from someone, we will be assured of the fact that he is no longer normal and has become insane, because an intelligent person would never do these things. Now, when we understand this, when we analyze such behavior, we see the ugliness of such deeds is so clear that an intelligent person would never even consider them. Now, our question is, who is more intelligent than the prophet? So, if the prophet is at the peak of all the perfections, then lying is an imperfection. If the prophet is at the peak of all the intelligences, which he has to be, then lying or doing any of those sins, it is one of an unintelligent act. So why would a prophet who is at the peak of all these, you know, positive attributes, he would do something like sinning or making an error or making a mistake? This just does not add up, right? So with this, we leave you in Allah's care with the point that prophets and also imams, although today's discussion was focused on the prophets, but the same arguments are for the imams of Ahlul Bayt. They are infallible, they are immaculate, and they are those absolute and perfect guides that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for the guidance of human beings. Thank you for listening to today's show. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. Thank you.